Hey, Colin, it's Hobbs from Random Screed. I got your message today, and I started listening to all your 5E episodes, and I'm about halfway through number 4. And, man, I have a lot to say about it, and I'm not sure how many messages this will take. First of all, I have played it. I was really excited to buy 5th edition. It's the first time I bought in any core rulebook since 3rd came out, and I wasn't a big fan of 3rd, even though I found other people say they think I would like it. Anyway, 5th edition. I like the basic game. I ran it. I've ran and played 5th edition multiple sessions. I don't know if it's been 100, but it's been quite a few. And I always just feel like it's missing something. And I wonder if it's a situation of less is more. You know, less is more. So when you have everything, I'm pulling a Hobbs.
Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit, episode 131. At the top of the show there, then, we hear from the man himself, Mr. Jason Hobbs of Random Screed, Hobbs and Friends, and Hex Talk. Now, if this message sounds familiar, that's because it's already been on Random Screed. Jason put it on his show as well, so I apologise for that, guys. However, it is pertinent to the discussion, as you will see. So, let's get back to Jason, pick up where he left off of his cliffhanger.
When you have everything that you need, and then you put more and more stuff on top of it, it can make you feel like you're not going to find all of the things. Another aspect of it is this. Characters feel too powerful to me in the early levels. The early levels are my favorite. And when the characters feel too powerful, I realize that all they did is up the power level of the monsters then. See, this is just like listening to my show. How great is that? Anyway, so they up the power of the monster levels to compete with the character levels. And then you just have more and more stuff, which kind of leaves me blasé. Character options. More options on the character sheet don't make more options in play. So the less options you have, the more overall things that you can do in a game, in my opinion, because what they've done is tried to make everything that you might come up with in a game and then apply it in a character class or a... In an older game, you would just come up with those rulings and apply them as you went. So all in all, I've played it. I continue to buy books for it to see if I would like it more, and then they just sit on my shelf until someone says they're going to play it, and then I look at them, and then I put them back, and I don't really use it very much. I really do like the fact that people are playing it, and people are in love with it, but I mean, I don't really know how many more people are actually playing it. I do know people are buying the books, though, if you notice the difference. Anyhow, for me, I would say meh. I'd play it if someone wants to. I'd run it if someone wants to, but it isn't my game of choice by any means. I think that they're trying to do too many things in order to use AL play, you know, organized play, and that kind of limits what it could have been, in my opinion. So, anyway, hope that helps. Later.
As ever, it sounds like Jason Hobbs has got some interesting ideas, and I always value his input, as I do any callers to the show. He said something there. 5E, he would play it, he would run it if people wanted to, but it wouldn't be his game of choice. Now, I've got a feeling there's a phenomenon going on here. It's to do with the experienced Dungeon Master, and what I've noticed is their play habits. They seem to have a couple of things going on. Firstly, there seems a certain type that always try new systems, and I think there's a reason for this, or in my case, there's a reason for this, and that is they're kind of looking for ideas, little tips and tricks that they can bring to their own game, because I think your average experienced GM or DM is often just running their own game. they might not have totally written it down. It might just look like a folder full of notes and photocopies from different games and things all mashed together. But I think there's a lot of Frankenstein games going on out there that fall under the a broad umbrella of Dungeons and Dragons, or even broader, maybe just an RPG. And you've only got to listen to, you put four or five DMs down at a table and they're all going to have their own ideas. And if you say, if you sort of challenge them and said, you know, well, what game do you play? Maybe all five or six would say, oh yeah, Moldvay Basic. But is it really? And what I've found interesting, since I've been looking into 5e a bit closer, I think what this new version of D&D has done for me, it's given me almost like a reset point. I've kind of got a fresh set of rules to look at, and I can almost take everything I had with my old school explorations, the BX, the Beckme, Swords and Wizardry, Labyrinth Lord, and all that sort of stuff that's been knocking around in my brain. I kind of clumped that together now and put it away into its own kind of folder in my mind. Or actually, it's almost a literal folder. And by looking at 5e in a kind of with, trying to look at it, I should say, with some fresher eyes, it's given me that chance to almost reset. So I see that as a bonus, a kind of a plus point for 5e. And if you hadn't thought about this, it might be something that you could consider for yourself. The other thing that Jason mentions, and I think is deserving of some more discussion, is this idea that 5e has reinvigorated the Dungeons and Dragons brand. It's brought new folk into the hobby. Now, Jason did mention the question of whether they're like just buying the books and getting into it, or whether they're actually playing. I know there's a massive lot of folk are really interested in watching people play the likes of Critical Role and actual play podcasts and YouTube and Twitch and all this. I mean, I never thought that would be a thing, and I know there are a lot of people surprised by the whole phenomena, but wow, don't knock it. And like Jason says, it's great. It's great to see the hobby coming out of the woods, and you know, it's kind of cool to play D&D. Wow, jeez, man. Tim Shorts will tell you, he's talked about the culture of bullying that went on. Che Webster, Roleplay Rescue, he talked about being bullied for liking role-playing games and stuff. And finally, we're seeing this changing. And why is that? Because 5e is so popular. So I'm glad Jason picked up on that one. But yeah, whether people are actually sitting around tables and playing it, and or getting online and playing it a lot, who knows? I imagine they are, though.
Hi there, just wanted to continue the conversation on the 5e Dungeons and Dragons. Been playing BX on Kalmata recently, and been reading some of the older rule sets. And I'm starting to come round to the idea that especially the basic 5e Dungeons and Dragons is probably an easier game system to learn if you're brand new to the hobby. Obviously, a lot of the players on the OSR have been playing a game for 20, 30, 40 years, so a little bit stuck in their ways with regard to how things work, and they find it easy to do rulings rather than actual rules. Someone like myself, I've been playing D&D for a long while, but I play a lot of board games, so I'm used to rule books that tell me how to do things. just doing my Jackson. Yeah, as I was saying, I play a lot of board games where rules are written, and if you have a query on the rules, it's very uncommon that you can go through the rule book and not find exactly what you need, the way it's worded, or even if you really have to go onto a forum on the website of the game company and they'll explain the query. But with BX and some of the older games, you could play one game with someone on Tuesday and they would interpret a rule completely different and have a different house rule for a ruling than someone that you played on a Thursday night. So at Kalmar at the weekend, we were trying to turn undead and we weren't quite sure how often we could do it. I wasn't sure how long the undead stayed turned, but in the new basic 5e, it was quite clear and concise. Anyway, just some thoughts. So just doing my triple. Just to clarify exactly what I'm saying, I think if you were brand new to Dungeons & Dragons, you never played a role-playing game before, and you wanted a system to learn, I think 5e is probably easier, especially the basic free-to-download rule set. I think the older systems, if you've never done any role-playing, they may be easy to get into if someone's teaching you the game and showing you how to play it and your style of playing it. But then if you go and sit at a different group and a different table, then you might get confused. Whereas 5e, if you do it as written, rules as written, then it should be the same on each table virtually. Anyway, just some thoughts to add to the discussion. Thanks, bye.
So we got Arfed there, and he likes his rules. He's told you himself. And that comes from, you know, his tradition in board gaming and, you know, some quite crunchy war games that we've played back in the day. Now, I'm quite chill when it comes to rulings, not rules, especially like during a session. I'm not going to be digging out rule books. If I lack the system mastery to know the rules of the game I'm playing, I'm not going to inflict that on my players. So as much as I can, I'll make a ruling. It's got to be clear to the players that that does not set up a precedent for the future, because at the end of a session or between sessions, I'm going to go back to the books, have a look, see how close I was and you know, brush up on that rule and make sure I get it right. I mean, if I'm going into an area of the game I'm not familiar with, I'll check my rules before the session. You know, the classic that you hear talked about is kind of waterborne adventures, where you might want to just make sure you've got a grasp on the swimming rules or breathing underwater, etc., stuff like that, drowning. And travel, of course, where to find the rules on boats and ships. You know, it's common sense. But what Arfed's saying there, I agree with as well. If you're a new player, you lack a bit of confidence, especially if you're a new DM. Sometimes you want some of those rules and, you know, maybe quite a lot of rules to give you a little bit of a safety net, something to fall back on, something to give you guidance. And I think 5e does a pretty good job in this regard. I was talking to Rob C on Discord the other day, and he brought it up in his 5e podcast, talking about the 5e equipment chapter. And for new players, that is just an awesome chapter in 5e. It doesn't go into masses of detail. It just tells you what you want to know, gives you like little bits of guidance for using the equipment. Really, really good. And I take my hats off to the designers on quite a few of the rules that they've kind of cleared up and made sense out of. That in the old editions I used to play, we never knew what we was doing. We was happy enough playing like that, but you know, for the new guys, I think it's really good, and I agree with Arfed on this one. But Having said all this, it is not all plain sailing. Coming in to a call in now from Larry Hamilton, Follow Me and Die, and he's talking about the importance of character sheets. And there is a lot on a 5e character sheet. Not the worst in role playing systems, but definitely more than you get in some of the old iterations of D&D. So let's hear from Larry on what he's got to say.
Hey Spike, but this is Larry with Follow Me and Die. Finally got caught up on your 5e series of episodes, and I haven't played a lot of 5e. The one thing I've noticed is if it's really hard to pick up a character in the middle. So if you didn't level up a character and learn all the new abilities and traits and whatnot that that character has, you're really handicapped trying to figure it out. My best example of that is I happened to be a player in Satine Phoenix's very first convention game that she ever ran. And the character I had, I think, was fourth or fifth level and had all kinds of if, ands, or buts for when they could do things. And it turns out that the character had advantage on initiative, but it was on the back of the character sheet that we were using. So I didn't even figure that out till the last few rounds. And I'm focused on the character sheet because as a longtime player, I know how to roll up an old style character. With 5e, the order of the stats are in a different order. I believe that changed prior to 5e, and I understand why they're in that order, but I have played with the original order of the six stats that I automatically fall into the mindset that's the order these numbers are in. So that's a real challenge. The other thing as a player is I want to know where I get the information so that I can understand how and why that number on the character sheet is what it is. And for that reason, everything that goes on the character sheet needs to be clearly laid out in the player's handbook.
Thanks for the call in, Larry. And yeah, there is quite a lot on the 5e character sheet. It can be a little bit confusing. And the rules are not super well referenced, and the index in particular is pretty dire, I have to say that. I think character sheets are a kind of a personal thing as well. I always like to make up my own. I like to have them in my DM notebook, and I normally do like a double page spread, and for whatever rule system I'm playing, I get photocopy relevant pages, take snippets out, or maybe do something a bit more fancy using some software on a computer. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, and definitely for designers, they need to keep that in mind. I'm sure they do. I reckon you're just a little bit unlucky. You have, like you say, you haven't played the game too much, and you're not going to get the familiarity in a few plays that you've maybe built up over however many years of playing older editions. But there you go. Now, my final call in is from Joe Richter, and this is a bit of a different one, actually.
Hey, Colin, it's Joe Richter again. Another great episode on 5e, which triggered some more stuff churning around in my big empty head, and so I thought I'd call in again. I got no real beef with 5e. Folks should play it if they want to, have fun with it. It's a perfectly fine game, but one of the main arguments I hear in its favor is how modular it is, how you can take stuff out and add stuff in. And that argument for its favor doesn't really make sense to me, because that's basically true of every single role-playing game ever. You've always been able to do that with role-playing games, and so I just don't understand why that's such a common argument in 5e's favor. Thanks again, man. You're awesome. Keep up the great work. Peace out.
Yeah, interesting, Joe. I guess you can't call it out as a massive strength of this edition, but I do think whilst all your different role-playing games, you could say are modular. I think there are degrees of modularity. I think when people talk about the modularity of 5e, they may be suggesting that it does look like it's been designed for modularity rather than some other systems. Obviously, you can take stuff in and out, but maybe with varying degrees of success. So I hear what you're saying, and yeah, I guess I agree with you to a point. But thanks for the call in, man, and I'm glad you're enjoying the 5e chat and listening to old Spike Pit, man. So cheers, bro. And there we go. I'm going to wrap it up there. I want to thank the callers for their contributions, as ever. Really interesting stuff. And I'd urge anybody who's never done a call-in, pick up the phone, give it a go. Or alternatively, find me on Discord or MeWe. And if you want, I can read out something on your behalf if you're a little bit shy about getting on the mic. I want to hear what people have got to say and encourage people to join the conversation. Thanks also to the Pit Crew over at Spike Pit Patreon for their ongoing generosity and support. You're keeping Spike Pit going and growing. And last but not least, thanks to you, the listener, taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.